بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him for all the blessings that He endowed upon us. Without Allah being obligated to give anything, I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, the final and the choicest Prophet, and to protect his followers from what he feared for them. In our last class, we mentioned that our great master, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, performed his last Hajj in the year 23 Hijri, after 10 years of his caliphate. And this Hajj was his last Hajj. After he finished it, he asked Allah to grant him martyrdom within the city of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Al-Madina. And less than 2 weeks passed, and a man, a magus, fire worshipper called Abu Lu'lu'a, stabbed Umar radiyallahu anhu when he was ready to do Al-Fajr prayer many times, which led to his death. So he got what he wished. He was killed unjustly. He died as a martyr within the city Al-Madina of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. And before he died, he chose 6 companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam and directed them to choose a caliph to succeed him. And those 6 were 6 out of the 10. Abu Bakr, of course, had died. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah also died within the caliphate of Umar. And Umar chose not to include his relative Sa'id ibn Zayd. Then those 6, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf was one of them, and he recommended that each one of the 6 would delegate another person so that there would be only 3 left to talk about the caliphate. And Az-Zubayr radiyallahu anh delegated Ali ibn Abi Talib to speak on his behalf. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas delegated Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, and Talhatul Khair delegated Sayyiduna Uthman to speak on his behalf. So we had Ali, Abdul Rahman, and Uthman, the 3 among whom one person will be chosen as the next caliph. Abdul Rahman said, I don't want to be the caliph. So there were remained 2 people, 2 companions, Uthman and Ali. And Abdul Rahman met individually with Uthman and with Ali, asked them the same questions, and they said that they would rule the Muslims by the Quran and the Sunnah as much as they could. And then publicly he announced, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, that he had met with these 2 great companions and the answers that they gave to his questions. And then he chose Uthman as the next caliph. He paid allegiance to him. Ali paid allegiance to Uthman. And then more Muslims came and paid allegiance to Uthman radiyallahu anhu. And Umar was buried upon his request and the permission of Lady Aisha next to Abu Bakr, who already had been buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we have the Prophet, and then at his shoulders to his right Abu Bakr, and then at the shoulders of Abu Bakr the head of Umar radiallahu anhu. Three graves next to each other. And we mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu had many merits. And we mentioned in the previous class few of these merits. Today, inshallah, we would like to mention more of these great merits of this great wali, great caliph, great companion, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu. His son Abdullah, so he's known as Abdullah ibn Umar, he mentioned a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the hadith is that the Prophet said, Bayna, yani baynama, ana na'im. The Prophet said, I was asleep. إِذْ رَأَيْتُ قَدَحًا أُتِيتُ بِهِ فِيهِ لَبَنْ. I was asleep and I saw in my dream that I was brought, given a cup of milk. فَشَرِبْتُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى إِنِّي لَأَرَى الرِّيَّ يَجْرِي فِي أَظْفَارِي. He said, عليه السلام, I drank to the extent that I saw the effect of the milk in my fingernails. Means he drank a large quantity of milk. قال ثم أعطيت فضلي ثم أعطيت فضلي عمر بن الخطاب. He said, then I gave the rest of the milk to Umar ibn al-Khattab. قالوا ماذا أولت ذلك يا رسول الله. يعني هو رأى ذلك في المنام أنه أعطى فضل لبنه الحليب الذي في القدح إلى سيدنا عمر. فقال له الصحابة ماذا فسرت أولت إعطاءك هذا الفضل لعمر في المنام. So people asked the Prophet, what did you think, what do you think that the meaning of your dream was? What is the meaning of you seeing a dream? In the dream you are giving Umar ibn al-Khattab whatever is remaining in the cup of milk. قال أي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم العلم. يعني أولته بأن ذلك العلم. He said, عليه السلام, knowledge. The scholars, Islamic scholars, who have the knowledge of interpreting dreams, said the following. Both milk and knowledge give a great benefit. Islamic knowledge and milk make a person grow by Allah's will. Milk is the nutrition for children. And in milk, there is something that makes children grow and become strong. Similarly, when people have Islamic knowledge, they have what is good for them in this life and in the next. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam interpreted his giving the milk to Umar, that Umar will have knowledge. He is given knowledge. Just like that, the fact that the milk is beneficial to people physically, it's nutritious, etc. The Islamic knowledge is also beneficial to people. It makes them safe in this life and in the hereafter. Also, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in a hadith narrated from the route of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. He said, بين أنا نائم رأيتني على قليب عليها دلو. يعني رأيت نفسي على بئر وهذه البئر عليها دلو. السطل الدلو. He said, in my dream, I saw a well with a bucket. فنزعت منها ما شاء الله. يعني أخذت من البئر بالدلو وشربت من هذا الماء ما شاء الله لي أن أشرب. So the Prophet said, I drank from the well, means he took water out of the well using the bucket. And he said, I drank from the well as much as Allah willed for me to drink. ثم أخذها ابن أبي قحافة فنزع بها ذنوبا أو ذنوبين. Then he said, Abu Bakr took water from the well, means after the Prophet took the water and he drank from the well using the bucket. Okay. Then he said, Abu Bakr, the son of Abu Quhafa, also took one or two buckets out of the well and he drank. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وفي نزعه والله يغفر له ضعف أو ضعف. And he said عليه السلام, when Abu Bakr took one or two buckets from the well, but these buckets were small, and he made dua for Abu Bakr, may Allah forgive him. Then the Prophet said, ثم استحالت غربا. The bucket was small, now it became large. فأخذها ابن الخطاب. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab took this big bucket. فَلَمْ أَرَى عَبْقَرِيًّا فَلَمْ أَرَى عَبْقَرِيًّا مِنَ النَّاسِ يَنْزِعُ نَزْعَ عُمَرَ ابْنِ الْخَطَّابِ. يعني لم أرى سيدا يعمل عمل عمر ابن الخطاب. يعني لما أخذ هذا الدلو, هذه الدلو الكبيرة. حتى ضرب الناس بعطن. So he said, then after Abu Bakr, the small bucket became a big bucket from which Umar took water. The Prophet continued to say, I have not seen a good person taking water as strongly as Umar did. What this dream means it is interpreted by our scholars, that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was sent by Allah. Allah sent the Prophet عليه السلام. He taught people about Islam, and he taught people, and many, many people, large number of people embraced Islam. Abu Bakr means that he's drinking from the well, that Allah sent him as a prophet, and many people embraced Islam, were taught by the Prophet. Then Abu Bakr, we said, he drank one or two buckets, but his drinking was in a small bucket. Abu Bakr was the ruler after the Prophet died. The two buckets that Abu Bakr used or took from the well symbolized the 2 years of his caliphate. So the dream refers to the 2 years that Abu Bakr ruled the Muslims. Then Abu Bakr died, we know, from poisoning. Umar was the caliph after him. During his caliphate, Islam spread very far. Remember, the bucket became large bucket in the dream. So our scholar said that Islam spread during the caliphate of Umar very far. So the bucket in the dream became bigger as the Muslim land had grown larger during Umar's caliphate. And of course, this hadith, this is an indication in this dream of Umar's honest and prudent ruling. Imam Muslim, remember we are mentioning merits of Umar radiallahu anhu. Here are two hadith showing the merit, the honor of Umar radiallahu anhu. Imam Muslim radiallahu anhu narrated from the route of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. You remember Sa'd was the commander of the Muslims on the Persian front. And he is one of the 10 companions of the Prophet. He was a relative of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he was one of these great companions and heroes of Islam. He said, Umar asked permission to reach the Prophet. The Prophet was sitting somewhere. So he asked someone who was in charge, I would like to go in and meet with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he entered, Umar entered, and found women from Quraysh asking the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam many questions. So that tells us that the Prophet was not exclusively teaching men. He had at occasions been teaching women because they are the other part of the community. We need all the members of the community to be educated Islamically. So when he entered, some of these women were speaking very loudly. Their voices were loud. Where they were sitting in the session of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Umar came in, they immediately changed the way they were sitting. They covered themselves more. And when this happened, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam laughed. Umar radiallahu anhu said, أَضْحَكَ اللَّهُ سِنَّكْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. May Allah make your tooth laugh. Means may Allah make you happy. He's making dua for the Prophet. It means he saw the Prophet happy, so he didn't know why. So he asked him, you know, may Allah make you happy. Why did you laugh? Our Prophet said, I was surprised that when they heard your voice, they covered themselves more and wanted to hide. Umar said, well, they should be more fearful around you. You are the messenger of Allah. They should fear you more than if they fear me. Then Umar said to the women, O you, the enemies of yourselves, عَدُوَّاتْ أَنفُسِكُنْ, do you fear me and not the messenger of Allah? He found that this attitude is not balanced, is not right. That the Prophet is the one who deserves the more respect, the more love, and to be more polite, you know, in his presence. So he said, O you, the enemies of yourselves, do you fear me and not the messenger of Allah? They said, yes, we fear you more than the Prophet. The Prophet tolerates us. You do not. The Prophet once said, so the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in another occasion, on other occasion, he said, I swear by the one who controls my soul. And we said many times when the Prophet swears by Allah that way, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. When the Prophet swears by Allah that way, I swear by the one who controls my soul, it means whatever he is saying is very important. That's what our scholars told us. He said, I swear by the one who controls my soul, meaning Allah. O Umar, any time you go on a road, if you take a path, you go through a street or road, and the devil knows that, he knows that you're passing through that street or that path, the devil takes another road out of fear of you. ما سلكت فجا إلا وسلك الشيطان فجا غير فجك. So anytime you pass through a street or pass through a road, and as Shaitan knows that you are passing through that road, he will on purpose take a different road out of fear of you. And of course, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said this to Umar, he was praising him. As Shaitan fears you, Umar. So this shows how serious Umar was in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, concerning the loud voices of these women in the presence of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah in Surah Al-Hujurat revealed to the Prophet praising those who lowered their voices in the presence of the Prophet. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ. So Allah praised those who lower their voices, don't raise their voices in the presence of the Prophet. Means don't raise their voice over the voice of the Prophet. Okay? And that's part of good manners with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the companions, when these verses were revealed, he, by nature, his voice is loud. He speaks loud. So he thought that he was among those who were dispraised on those verses, and he was crying. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him that Allah revealed these verses for those people who would stand also outside the house of the Prophet, and they call him from outside, "Oh, Messenger of Allah," they call out to him loudly. And he did not do that. His voice just, you know, the way Allah created him, his by nature, his voice was loud. So these are few hadith showing certain aspects of the character of our master Umar radiallahu anhu. We have more. During Umar's caliphate, Amr ibn al-As was the ruler of Egypt. Remember that the Muslims went in the Persian land and the Roman land, and Egypt, which was at that time mainly Cairo and the area around it, not the whole Egypt, so became under the rulership of the Muslims. So the ruler or the governor of Egypt was Amr ibn al-As, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One year, the Nile River did not rise. You know, the Nile River is one of the longest rivers in the world, in Africa, and it runs, you know, through Egypt, from Sudan, and so on. So this river was essential for the agriculture of the people of Egypt. So the Egyptians relied on the rise of the Nile River, because when the water rises, then they can take that water and channel it to the land to irrigate their crops. So one year it did not rise, so they could not take the water from the Nile, you know, channel it to their land. And you know, the native Egyptians at the time were Christians. They were under the rulership of the Romans, and they were Christians. They called Copts, Aqbalt. And so they came to Amr ibn al-As. Those native Christians came to the ruler, the Muslim ruler Amr ibn al-As, and they said, "We usually," they say, "take a female virgin and throw her in the river to make the river rise." They had a certain, you know, ritual that they practiced before the Muslims took over Egypt, and they thought now that they could continue to practice that ritual. The Muslims, of course, did not allow him to do so, because it's killing a person unjustly, just throwing a girl, you know, in the river to drown. So they thought that now if they speak with him, there is a reason now that the Nile River has not risen, so we used to do that, so we want to do it. Of course, Amr ibn al-As, he was a companion of the Prophet. He knew what's halal and what's haram. So he did not approve. But what did he do? He wrote to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the Caliph, to consult with him about what to do. So Umar sent a message, written message, and the message said that Amr ibn al-As, the governor, should have the message written by the Caliph Umar be thrown into the Nile River. In the message, Umar the Caliph wrote, he said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I start my message with the name of Allah, the Merciful, to the believers and non-believers in this life, Ar-Rahim, the one who is merciful exclusively to the believers in the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Judgment. Min Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab ila Nil Misr. From the commander of the believers, the Caliph, Umar, the son of al-Khattab, to the Nile River. Means this message is addressed to the Nile of River by Umar, as if the message is written to a person. Amma ba'd, he said thereafter, in kunta tajri min qibalik fala tajri. It means, O Nile River, if you run on your own, by your own will, then do not run. وَإِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي يُجْرِيكَ فَإِنَّا نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُجْرِيَكَ. And he said in the message, and if the case is that Allah is the one which makes you run, then we ask Allah to make you run. So Amr, the governor, so we have Umar and we have Amr. So Amr ibn al-As, the governor, took the message of Umar, the content of which we just told you, and he threw it in the Nile River. And immediately the Nile River rose and ran as intensely as it used to before. So this is also another indication of the high level of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, that with a message he made a whole river run by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the things that were exclusive to Umar radiyallahu anhu, that he was the first caliph, the first, of course he was the second caliph, isn't it? There was only one caliph before him, Abu Bakr. So, but he was the first caliph who went out at night checking on the citizens, on his subjects. One night, as mentioned in the history of caliphs by Al-Imam As-Suyuti, he said, when our master Umar was walking, he saw a woman. Of course, they were living in tents and so on. He saw a woman stirring the contents of a pot while her children were around her crying for food. So he was in the street and a woman was living in a tent, and he saw that she had a pot on fire, and she was stirring it, and there were around the pot children crying. They want to eat, they were hungry. She, the mother, kept telling those children, a little later, she was doing that until they fell asleep. They cried a lot and then they got tired, so they slept. Umar came to her and asked about her situation. I mean, why was she doing that? She did not know that the man who was asking her was the Caliph, Umar ibn Khattab. They didn't have, TV and internet. They could see the picture of the president and or the governor. So she did not know him. And she told him she did not have any food at her home. And she was stirring stones in water. She had stones in the water and she was stirring them, pretending that she was cooking until her children slept. So she was using a trick to calm her children. I mean, what could she do? So she did her best. Umar radiallahu anhu was sad, very sad, and upset that one of his subjects had that condition. So immediately he went away, means from her house, then returned carrying a bag of food on his shoulders. Means he went to the treasury, Muslim treasury, and then he brought from it food in a bag. He had an assistant with him, but he insisted to carry the bag himself. Our master Umar radiallahu anhu prepared the fire himself, blew on the flames until the smoke got into his beard. He then cooked the food, and when it was ready, he told the woman to wake up her children so that they could eat. Then he went off to a far spot away from the family and sat watching them, see what they're doing. The woman woke up her children. They all ate food, the caliph that had prepared. And when our master Umar saw that they had what they needed, he continued on his way. Have you seen or heard of a ruler in history who had done such a thing? At the end of his life, when our master Umar got stabbed, the people were standing around him, praising him. So he was dying, and people around him, of course, were concerned about him. But because he was dying, so people wanted to say good words about him to him, to make him feel better. In Sahih Muslim, so it's an authentic hadith, it was narrated that Ibn Abbas, Abdullah Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anh, said, I put Umar on his bed, and people gathered asking him to ask Allah to forgive them. So they're asking Umar, oh, ask Allah to forgive us, because they knew Umar had much higher rank than themselves. So Abdullah ibn Abbas was standing, and he said, I was surprised that a man put his hand on my shoulder, and it was Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. Ali said to Umar, he addressed Umar, he asked Allah to have mercy on him, and he said, ما خلفت أحدا أحب إلي أن ألقى الله بمثل عمله منك. So Ali told Umar رضي الله عنه, O Umar, after he asked Allah to have mercy on Umar, you will not leave behind you a person more loved than you due to your good deeds. So you're gonna die, you will not leave someone who is better than you. Why? Because of the good deed that you, Umar, did during your life. He's telling him, you are higher in rank than anyone who's gonna come after you. Then he continued to say, وَيْمُ اللَّهِ يعني أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُ لَأَظُنُّ أَن يَجْعَلَكَ اللَّهُ مَعَ صَاحِبَيْكَ. And he said, I believe that Allah will make you join your two friends, meaning the Prophet and Abu Bakr. And he said, why? وَذَاكَ because أَنِّي كُنْتُ أُكَثِّرُ أَسْمَعُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. Because I used to hear very many times The Messenger of Allah say, I heard the Prophet many times say, جئت أنا وأبو بكر وعمر ودخلت أنا وأبو بكر وعمر وخرجت أنا وأبو بكر وعمر فإن كنت لأرجو أو لأظن أن يجعلك الله معهما. So he said, I swear by Allah, I hope Allah will make you among your two companions, the Prophet and Abu Bakr. I heard the Messenger of Allah frequently say, I came with Abu Bakr and Umar. I entered with Abu Bakr and Umar. I went out with Abu Bakr and Umar. So I always hoped that you would be with your two good friends. So those were statements by Ali radiallahu anhu, giving a testimony to Umar, or about Umar, how close Umar was to Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how good he thought of Umar. How highly Ali thought of Umar radiallahu anhu. That's why when people say that Ali hated Umar, or Ali thought that Umar took the caliphate unjustly, they don't know what they're talking about, or they know, but they're fabricating those rules or those news. Before I continue, is there any question about what I mentioned tonight? Radiallahu anhu. Now, one time the Muslims were preparing for the battle of Al-Khandaq in the year 5 Hijri. Remember the battle of the ditch or of the allied factions when the Jews and the people of Mecca and the Bedouins, three groups came to invade Al-Madinah, and Salman al-Farisi, the companion Salman the Persian, suggested that they dig a wide ditch that would prevent the enemy from entering Al-Madinah. So the Prophet and his companions worked diligently to dig this ditch, this khandaq, a trench. And they did along some points of Al-Madinah around it. Now, while they were digging, they encountered a giant rock. So it was in their way, and they needed to move it so that the ditch would be dug. So they told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet alayhi salam hit this rock 3 times, after which it crumbled. It just went, as they say, into powder. And when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam hit it, a giant light came out of the rock. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said at the time, the first time he hit it, we said some bright light came out. The Prophet said, Allah allowed me to see Kisra and Caesar's palaces. Allah allowed me, means when this light came out, Allah allowed me to see the palace of Kisra, the Persian king, and the palace of Caesar, the Roman king. The Prophet said, my nation will rule the lands that Allah enabled me to see. This is the year 5 Hijri. The Prophet died in the year 11. Okay? And during the caliphate of Umar in the 20s, okay? Which means what? After few years, after, you know, 10, yeah, about 15 years after the Prophet said that. So he said, Allah allowed me to see, the Muslims will rule a land that Allah allowed me to see. Which means the Muslims will rule the Roman land and the Persian land later. At another occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, to the Muslims, you will also rule Egypt. Treat the people of Egypt well, because they are related to us. You will also rule Egypt. And he said, treat the people of Egypt well, because they are related to us. And we know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a descendant of Prophet Ismail alayhi salam. And Ismail, his father was Prophet Ibrahim, and his mother was Hajar. And Hajar, how did she become the mother of Ismail? How did she get to Ibrahim? She was an Egyptian slave. When Sarah and Ibrahim visited Egypt, and Allah gave victory of Sarah over that Egyptian king who tried to touch her, he gave her as a gift. Then Hajar was the slave of Sarah. Sarah gave Hajar as a gift to Ibrahim. Ibrahim now, he had sexual intercourse with his slave Hajar. She gave birth to Ismail. From Ismail's line came Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Prophet said that those people of Egypt have a relation to us, they're related to us, he meant through Lady Hajar, the mother of Ismail. So the Prophet told them that, the Muslims, that إِنَّكُمْ سَتَفْتَحُونَ مِصْرِ فَإِذَا فَتَحْتُمُوهَا فَأَحْسِنُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ ذِمَّةً وَرَحِمًا. Meaning that when you open Egypt, then be nice and kind to its people. They have a kinship to us, have a blood relation to us, meaning through Lady Hajar, radiallahu anha. So you could see, those were also miracles for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He already prophesied that the land of Kisra, the Persian land and the Roman land, will come under the control of the Muslims before it happened. And he also prophesied that the land of Egypt will come under the control of the Muslims before it happened. So it's all because Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam received the revelation about this matter from the one who knows about everything and who created everything, Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam that the land of Ash-Sham would also become under the Muslim rulership, under their control. And this took place during the caliphate of Umar radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet, when he mentioned that, also he made a dua. He said, Allahumma barik lana fi shamina. Allahumma barik lana fi yamanina. So he said, O Allah, bless our Sham for us. Bless our Yemen for us. He said, O Allah, bless our Sham, the land of Palestine, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. So the Prophet said that this land will come under the control of the Muslims, and he made dua, Allahumma barik lana fi shamina, Allahumma barik lana fi yamanina. O Allah, bless our Sham for us. O Allah, bless our Yemen for us. قالوا يا رسول الله وفي نجدنا. So some people were present and they said, O Prophet of Allah, and our Najd, our land called Najd. Najd is the eastern part of Saudi Arabia nowadays. Riyadh is the central part of that area. So they said, make dua, ask Allah also to bless our Najd, our land of Najd. قال اللهم بارك لنا في شامنا اللهم بارك لنا في يمننا. The response of the Prophet was, O Allah, bless our Sham for us. O Allah, bless our Yemen for us. And they said, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَفِي نَجْدِنَا O Prophet of Allah, Messenger of Allah, and in our Najd, we make dua to bless it. فَأَظُنُّهُ قَالَ فِي الثَّالِثَةِ Abdullah ibn Umar is narrating the hadith, and he said, and I think in the third time he said, هُنَالِكَ أَوْ هُنَاكَ هُنَاكَ الزَّلَازِلُ وَالْفِتَنُ وبها يطلع قرن الشيطان هناك الزلازل والفتن وبها يطلع قرن الشيطان and he said from that area from Najd there will be quakes and there will be tribulations trouble from it the horn of the devil will rise So, and this hadith is narrated in Al-Bukhari, different wording, but the same, the gist is the same. So, we could see that the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam repeatedly, despite the request of making dua that Allah bless Najd, the Prophet continued to make dua for Al-Sham and Al-Yaman. And he did not respond about making dua for Najd. In fact, in the third time, he said that Najd will have tribulation. From it, the tribulations, the fitan, the trouble will come out. And the Prophet mentioned that the horn of Ash-Shaytan will come out. Which means, you know, evil will start there. And of course, some people, the Wahhabis, their center, of course, is in the area of Najd. And they said, well, when the Prophet said that, he wasn't talking about Najd of Arabia. He was talking about Najd of Iraq. Because in the Arabic language, Najd means mountains. Okay? So they were saying, oh, he wasn't talking about the area of Najd in Arabia. He was talking about the Najd of Iraq. The simple response is, the Prophet was in Arabia, in Al-Madina. So when he said, Shamina wa Yamanina, our Sham and our what? Yemen. They said, and in our Najd, these people asked, and in our Najd, O Prophet of Allah, and these people were from Iraq or from Arabia? From Arabia. So when they say our Najd, how could it be Iraq when they are from Arabia? Doesn't make sense, isn't it? When you say our city and you mean Washington DC or you mean Philadelphia. Okay? So they have no basis to say that the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam meant Iraq and not the one in Arabia. So, the Prophet already said that. Now, some people, Wahhabis, when they are told, and they were, you know, this is a true thing, they were asked, how could you say it is haram, it is sinful, to say it is, how do you say that it is sinful to say as-salah, عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ after adhan. You know, after we call adhan, then some people who call adhan, what do? They say, اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَسَلِّمْ and different versions. So these people say it is haram to do that. It is bid'ah. Even one of them, Al-Albani, who died, he said, doing that is worse than having zina with one's own mother. Saying as-salatu ala nabi after adhan, he said it's worse, it means uglier according to him, than a man sleeping with his mother. How could saying as-salatu ala nabi worse than committing zina, the worst, you know, the third worst sin, a'udhu billah. So when a person was asked this question, how could you say it's sinful to do that, it is haram, you know what he said? He said, هو بدأنا. He said he started this. He mean that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, they say it's haram in response to what the Prophet said about Najd. He's retaliating against the Prophet. Because the Prophet said he didn't make dua for Najd, and he said as shaitan's horn will come out of it. So he started the war with us, so we're retaliating. Look at how much hatred such people have for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I mean, have you heard of such a level of, you know, impudence and blasphemy, showing enmity to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? I mean, showing enmity to a pious Muslim is a great sin. How about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? This is kufr. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So, may Allah protect the Muslims from the evil of these Wahhabis that are spreading, you know, their misguidance and their hatred in the world. I'll stop here, inshallah. Next class, we'll mention the names and like short account of some of the companions, the great Muslims, who died during the Caliphate of Umar, radiyallahu anhu. You know, Umar ruled the Muslims about 10 years. So during his Caliphate, some companions and great Muslims died. So it is nice to mention their names and say a few words about each of those. We're not going to mention them all, just some of them. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم